This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio number 1339. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave broadcasting. On this edition, recorded December 5th, Mystery Tones on Medium Wave. New frequencies to and from Cuba, Zimbabwe, Philippines, New Zealand. Resolving collisions. Time running out for shortwave from Finland. Some musical listening tips and the propagation outlook. First, news of some reference sources for shortwave listening. Eike Bierwirth in Germany twice a year compiles his extensive schedules of shortwave broadcasts and updates them periodically. The B06 schedules have now been posted first in frequency order. You can reach them at www.eibi.de.vu. And let me give that one also phonetically. Echo India Bravo India dot Delta Echo dot Victor Uniform. And now there is a complete hard copy reference to international broadcasting. The new 2007 edition of World Radio TV Handbook has now been published. Details on how to order it are at www.wrth.com. In my opinion, it is absolutely essential. A 2007 QSL calendar has been printed by the Rhein-Main Radio Club in Frankfurt, Germany. It has reproductions of 26 interesting QSL cards from the past and the present, and the printing is of very high quality. Details for that are at www.rmrc.de. That's Romeo Mike, Romeo Charlie dot Delta Echo, according to Harold Gabler. WRMI Miami made some schedule changes the first weekend in December. World of Radio is now aired at three times. Saturday at 1330 UT on 7385. That's 2 hours earlier than before. A new one Saturday at 2230 on 9955. Let's hope the Cuban jammers realize it's in English and relent. And finally, Sundays at 0900 on 9955. And a few other programs on WRMI. Wavescan from AWR is Saturdays at 1430 on 7385, Sundays at 0930 on 9955. DX Party Line is Saturdays at 1130 on 9955, at 1545 on 7385, and UT Sunday at 0500 on 9955. Viva Miami, Jeff's own program produced at WRMI, is now scheduled just before us on Saturdays at 2200 on 9955. Sometimes it's in English, sometimes in Spanish, or even Portuguese. During the 2200 UT hour on Friday, I ran across an enjoyable program on WBCQ 7415, playing old 78s. No, it's not Marion's Attic, but someone with a phony British accent. The name of the show, which I don't understand, is Behavior Night. Anyhow, it's worth listening to. Friday at 22 to 23 on 7415. David Hodgson in Nashville reports to the Harmonics Group, hearing WRCY, Mount Vernon, Indiana, on 3180. Second harmonic at 0315 UT, December 1st. A good signal strength and clean audio, he says. Also identifying with their FM outlet, WYFX. They're supposedly running only 35 watts at night with a non-directional antenna. Artie Bigley draws to our attention a couple of pirate videos, one of which is about a movie which is making the circuit of film festivals, including Anchorage in December. Its title is Pirate Radio USA. You can see a trailer and find out more about it at www.pirateradiousa.com. Starting Tuesday evening, November 28th, UT 29th, we are receiving numerous reports about tone tests on 1610 kHz, which is the only more or less vacant frequency in the U.S. on medium wave, occupied only by low-power travelers and highway stations, but no commercial stations. We heard about it first from Chuck Adkins in Ohio, who was hearing it at 0118 UT, and then from Terry Kruger in Florida about the same time. There were never any IDs, so all people could do was try to get a fix on it, as it's fairly easy to do with a directional medium wave receiver. This continued to be a very hot topic of discussion for the following week in DX Listening Digest and many other news groups. While it was going, this was heard both day and night in the eastern U.S., and at night as far as the west coast and as far as Europe. Then on Friday, December 1st, Ben Dangerfield in Pennsylvania was first to report that at 1522 UT, it had left 1610 and landed on 1020 kilohertz with the same intensity and a fluttery high-pitch signal. Underneath, WIBG, which is a small station in New Jersey on 1020. Of course, 1020 is also occupied by a big station in Pittsburgh, KDKA, and as the day and night went on, the tones were interfering with KDKA for many listeners. The 1020 tones continued Saturday and into Sunday, giving lots of people a chance to get a fix on them, although unlike 1610, there was always interference from other stations. Jim Tunn in Oak Ridge volunteered to construct a map showing all the bearings to get a fix on this. You can see it at tonnesoftware.com/1020.gif. And he also did them for 1610 and 590, which was to be the next frequency starting on Tuesday, the 5th of December. And our first report of a tone test there, although it sounded different, came from Craig Christ in Manassas, Virginia, at 1600 UT, December 5th. Now, the direction finding pointed to a location in the Washington, D.C. area, perhaps in eastern Virginia or in Maryland. One likely location appears to be Fort A.P. Hill, which is south of Washington, D.C. Numerous theories were advanced to explain it. Speculation, and many of us tried to find out from government agencies, but the FCC wasn't talking. Nevertheless, we found something buried on the FCC website about an application to use almost those same frequencies, dated July of 2005, 590, 1020, and 1600. On behalf of BAE Systems, which it appears is a defense contractor involved in many different fields, however, as I speak, we've not yet had any confirmation that BAE Systems is behind this. This application was for the location of Bowling Green, Virginia, which is the town just outside Fort A.P. Hill. Power was to be 10 kilowatts, and the application said this is required to complete full-scale transmitter and associated equipment testing. It's a government contractor developing mobile broadcasting units, which can be deployed worldwide, to satisfy customers' immediate military requirements, encompassing use of AM band frequencies necessary to simulate overseas operating parameters. These three frequencies would cover the band pretty well, low, medium, and high ends, which might be necessary to test out antennas and transmitters to be sure they work over the entire band. Here are some reactions to the changes at Radio Canada International. Will Martin in St. Louis says, how disappointing and annoying that you've so drastically changed RCI programming. Why did you pick this time after you had spent the funds to print and mail out new seasonal schedules, all of which are now useless? There's been a history of strikes at CBC and RCI. This would be a good time for the entire staff, on air and technical, to walk out and shut the entire system down until a restoration of the previous schedule is agreed to, signed a sad former listener. Guy Ludwig in Germany adds, wasn't there something called the RCI Action Committee? Do they all agree with RCI being reduced to a Come to Canada outlet after all their protest against other changes during recent years? Or are they silent because they know that this is the last chance for their station to escape complete abolition? So just let it succeed or get fired. Public Radio KUOW in Seattle has acquired a second station, KXOT it is now called, Checking out their schedule, I was pleased to find that Ideas from CBC Radio is being carried on that station, but not at night, but the following day. That should be convenient for any of us who missed an Ideas program and want to still be able to catch it, since they're not all archived at CBC itself. And I did confirm that the previous night's program is played the next day on weekdays. It's at 1804 UT. You can reach it at www.kxot.org. By the way, KXOT 91.7 is also one of our World of Radio affiliates, since it carries the World Radio Network overnight. We're heard Sunday mornings at 1:32 Pacific Time, confirmed by Lee Roberts. No relation to the Mystery 1610 tones from the U.S., but there are two Canadian stations on 1610 low-powered. One of them, CHHA in Toronto, was to go off the air due to interference problems caused by their transmitter being in a residential area. They were supposed to go off the air as of the 30th of November to relocate the transmitter. However, Mike Brooker and Barry McLarnon said they didn't quite make it. They were still on the air as of December 2nd. Meanwhile, Dean McIntyre tells us there's been an application with the CRTC for another new X-band station in Canada, this one in Ottawa, on 1670. 1,000 watts, day and night, it would program for children and teenagers. You may recall earlier this year there were reports that XEYU, the shortwave station at the University in Mexico City, planned to reactivate on 9600, but nothing came of it. There's been some movement again, however. Julian Santiago Diaz de Bonilla in Mexico City heard from the engineer that they were testing the shortwave transmitter again on the morning of December 4th and would test it the next few mornings between 14 and 20 UT. On the 5th, I was able to hear a very weak carrier on 9599, which I assume was that. We can only hope they'll be able to beef up the power and get some modulation so we can actually listen to Radio UNAM from Mexico City on 9600 or so. However, during the earlier morning and in the evenings, the frequency is blocked by Cuba. As of December 5th, I noticed that the Caribbean beacon had been missing for a couple of days at least from its night frequency of 6090 and day frequency of 11775. Less opportunity to listen to defunct Gene Scott. Don't know what the problem is or whether they'll be coming back, but for now that opens a couple of frequencies, especially 6090, where there's some interesting Latin American and African stations we might be able to hear. Radio Havana, Cuba has reactivated a frequency, 11705, although strangely enough it's not on their posted schedule, nor on the new seasonal schedule distributed by Arnie Coro. So we don't know exactly when it's supposed to be on the air. Bob Thomas in Connecticut first reported it November 25th in the evening in Spanish. I also heard it December 1st at 2216 among several other frequencies commemorating Fidel's postponed 80th birthday, minus Fidel. And it also carried the Portuguese service at 2300 UT, says Celi Romais in Panorama, Atividade de Xix. We saw a report of Radio Marti on 17660 during the 1600 UT hour, a frequency not scheduled. We haven't been able to hear it ourselves, and it may have been a one-time test. On December 5th, during the 1500 UT hour past 16, we're hearing Marti on another unlisted new frequency, 11750. Very strong, parallel to 15330, 13820, and 11930. At first it seemed to be unjammed, but then we heard the jamming building up. It could be that Radio Marti has decided to try the floating transmitter tactic against jamming, showing up on unannounced and unexpected frequencies. At least that'll keep the jammers on their toes. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, number 1339. Our address, WORADIO at yahoo.com. Thanks this week for financial support. Go to Pete Bentley in New York, who sent a check in the mail to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702 USA. Read much more about the topics we mentioned and many others in the archive of DX Listening Digest at worldofradio.org. Big news out of Africa this week is the reactivation of a frequency from Zimbabwe, which had been off the air for several years. 3396, first reported by Björn Fransson in Sweden, November 29th at 1939 to 2010 UT, with lively African music, news on the hour, mentioning Zimbabwe, although he didn't get a definite ID. Then it was heard at 21:15 and still on at 23:15 by Roberto Scaglioni in Sicily, and at 23:30 by Mike Barraclough in the UK. And the next evening, Jari Savolainen in Finland says, December 1st, 1830, 3396 was carrying a Radio Zimbabwe network in a local language. And at 1910, Zacharias Liangas in Greece was hearing it also in a local language. Furthermore, Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal reported it December 2nd, past midnight UT in vernacular with phone-ins and ID on the hour as Radio 1 of Radio Zimbabwe. Very good audio quality in the middle of utility interference. Andy Sennett says this reactivation may have something to do with the imminent launch of the new service from Zimbabwe 24/7 shortwave. I've not seen any frequencies mentioned, but the transmitters have been sitting in Gwero for the last 2 years. Now they've named someone to run it, according to a report at the Media Network blog. When he was hearing 3396, Jari Savolainen also reported at 1810 UT December 1st, a different kind of jamming against SW Radio Africa on 4880. Earlier, I was noting only a hum-buzz type of weak jamming, and SWRA was nicely readable. But now there was a strong music box or bagpipe type jamming overriding SWRA. Here's the B06 schedule of RTM Morocco. It's all in Arabic, but we often listen, for the music at least, according to DX Mix News in Bulgaria. All intended for parts of Africa and Western Europe. At 09 to 15 UT, 15340. 11 to 15, 15335. 15 to 22, 15345. 22 to midnight, 7135. Midnight to 05 on 5980. Transmitter site is Tangier, except for 15340 and 345, Nador. We recently mentioned that Deutsche Welle's English broadcast to South Asia from Sri Lanka was coming in well in New Jersey at 16 to 17 UT on 9795. But now Joe Hanlon says, forget about hearing it then. Radio Canada International is now running its DRM signal on 9800 during that time, wiping out Deutsche Welle. DRM on 9800 also splashes onto Taiwan via France and English on 9785 at 1600. Here's another collision at 2330 UT on 6,000 kHz. Radio Prague is relayed via Canada in Spanish to Latin America. Didn't they know that Cuba also uses 6,000 kHz? Well, it's listed in PWBR, but not in HFCC, in which Cuba does not participate. So officially, it doesn't exist. We may have mentioned that there was a collision between Israel and Sweden for the broadcast at 16:45 to 17:15 on 11:605. Now DX Mix News in Bulgaria says Sweden has moved to 11:975. In the Arctic Radio Club, Bent Eriksson says that YLE Radio Finland, according to their program booklet, will be closing down 963 kHz at Pori as well as all their shortwave broadcasts at the end of this year. However, one medium wave frequency will remain on the air to serve the Baltic Sea, 558 near Helsinki. While the shortwave schedule includes this to North America, 13 to 14 on 13715, 13 to 15 on 15400, 16 to 17 on 12,000 kHz. Bertrud now in Lithuania gives us the new schedule for Radio Vilnius, English to North America, at 2330 on 7325, and at midnight 30 on 9875, each preceded by semi-hour in Lithuanian, although Bob Thomas in Connecticut says the 9875 transmission is not always audible. And 7325 has interference from Libya via France on the low side. The 100-kilowatt transmitter at Sitkanai in Lithuania is also relaying the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Bertrud now also provides some frequency changes as of December 1st. Now, a number of European language broadcasts between 1430 and 2130 UT had been on 6250, but they've moved some of them, not all of them, to 6255, presumably because of co-channel interference from North Korea. So the schedule looks like this. 1 hour in Russian at 1430, and French at 1830, and in Spanish at 2030. Each remains on 6250. However, German at 1730 and English at 1930 move to 6255. There's also Italian at 0630 on 7545. In World DX Club contact, Edwin Southwell in England says Croatian radio have an excellent program daily at 1205 UT on 9830, playing nonstop pop songs of the 60s by English and American singers, mostly in English, but sometimes sung in Croatian. John Babas found out that the Voice of Greece has changed its schedule to relay 4 foreign languages between 06 and 10 UT, 1 hour each of Albanian, English, French, and Spanish. It wasn't clear on exactly which frequencies. Our monitors in Europe, Jean-Michel Aubier, Jose Miguel Romero, and Mike Barakloff, confirm it's on 15630 only. The 12 and 9 megahertz frequencies continue with Greek programming. This is actually the Radiophilia foreign language service, which is on medium wave 666 in Greece, including English at 0700. Except perhaps on Tuesdays when they're off the air for transmitter maintenance. Göran Fransson in Sweden says, I have just enjoyed Radio Jordan on 11690 with a tremendous English show Saturday at 15 to 16 UT. It was really Saturday Night Fever as he was celebrating his 49th anniversary as a DXer. In fact, he was checking that frequency for Scandinavian Weekend Radio, also scheduled at that time on 11690, but of course totally overwhelmed by Radio Jordan. Wolfgang Büschel in Germany says one of the All India Radio transmitters in Delhi on 7410 kHz is very much out of whack. It's 312 degrees, 250 kilowatts at 1730 to 2230 UT. However, instead, on December 3rd, he was hearing terrible distorted signals like a garden fence, approximately 27 kilohertz apart, the strongest being 7379 to 7389, also 7331 to 7336, 7351 to 7363 on the low side, and on the upper side, one single weak signal on 7437. All these were parallel to the General Overseas Service in English on 9445, and he heard these on 3 different receivers. Then on December 5th, the same transmitter was still very distorted between 1815 and 1850 UT, but now with a wideband distorted signal covering 7401 to 7437. In New Delhi, Alokesh Gupta says, same here, tuned into 7410. It was a severely distorted signal and with some audio dropouts at 1827 UT, December 5th. Manikant Lodaya in South India says, I've been listening to Radio Pilipinas at 0200 UT. The announcer gives the frequency as 15155, but they're actually on 15115. The other frequency is correct, 15230 with good reception, and the third one, not very good, on 12030. That's the English broadcast from 02 to 0330. Commander Elliott draws our attention to a press report from the Bernama Asia in Malaysia, Dateline Cebu, that Radio Television Malaysia will build more radio and TV transmitters in Sarawak under the 9th Malaysia Plan, including FM, and get this, 2 shortwave transmitters in Bukit Kayu Malam, also known as Sarike, and Bukit Singgalang, also known as Cebu. Wolfgang Büschel says the Voice of Indonesia replaced 15150 variable by 9525 around November 24th and 25th for the Middle East and European service. We've been hearing 9525 with an excellent signal here in the mornings. Still open carrier for an hour or more at 14 UT. We've written them saying, please play back your English broadcast during that hour. They do have another English broadcast at 2000, which is also coming through to North America, reported by Mick Delmudge in Alberta and Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania. In fact, running a bit over until closing at 2106. Steve Lehrman, Michigan, says, I noted Radio East Sepik, Papua New Guinea on 3335, December 2nd, signing off with anthem at 1301. But the carrier stayed on, and 3 minutes later, they brought up the national service from Port Moresby with an item about AIDS and weather and a song about national unity, and finally pulled the plug at 1309. Via Barry Hartley, yet another revision to the Radio New Zealand International schedule as of December 5th. As always, I'll just give the starting time for each frequency in analog at 1300-5950, 1551-9870, 1751-11725, 1951-17675, 2259-15720, 0600-9765, and 1100-13840. Tarmo Kontro in Finland tells us about pulling in RNZI's DRM transmission using Wind Radio 313E. At just the right time, it was coming in well, between 09 and 10 UT on 9890. In fact, he says, I could decode 99.9% of the audio. With my setup, there were actually more dropouts and buffering on the webcast. Maybe these transmissions are okay for the Pacific Islands instead of satellite, and quite good, at least during that hour, in Europe. But you need a good antenna. Checking with small whips means normally 0% audio. In ODXA, Fred Waterer forwards info from Brian Smith about listening to the coup live from Fiji. No shortwave, of course, but the webcast was running. There's several different transmissions. www.radiofiji.com.fj. The one he was listening to is called Fiji Gold. It's probably all over now, but he said it's a bit surreal. 1 minute they'll be interviewing the Prime Minister, who seems powerless, then playing A Little Town of Bethlehem by Elvis, or Radio Gaga by Queen. The Navy seized all the police boats. The Army seized all the police armories. Instead of traffic reports, they're saying where the roadblocks are. Now more info about the mystery tone testing on 1610 and 1020 kilohertz. I have been reliably informed that the purpose was PSYOP antenna development from somewhere in the southeastern U.S., as we already knew. The power was 10 kilowatts, but the tests were curtailed after discussions with the FCC. Perhaps they were originally authorized by military authorities. You may have heard me hoping that someone in eastern North America would try to pull in the megawatt transmitter on 6235 in Moldova, which broadcasts in English weekdays at 1700. Well, someone has. Dave Valko in Pennsylvania reports on his de-expedition to a quiet rural location that he did hear a signal there, although he didn't identify it, at 1700 UT, November 24th, Friday. He says he's going to give it another try and try to get a definite ID. He was also hearing nearby Radio Samana on 6245 at 1701 and Radio Cairo on 6230 at 1556. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued December 5th. Solar activity moderate to high. Geomagnetic field mostly quiet to unsettled. After a solar flare December 5th, ANK indices peaking at 35 and 6 December 7th, 20 and 4 December 21st, in between down to 5 and 2. Solar flux peaking at 110 December 12th and 13th, dropping off to 80 by the 21st. That's World of Radio 1339. Glenn Hauser inviting you back next week.